Good to have everybody here tonight. We're going to start a new series called Outside of the Box. Outside of the Box. And tonight we're going to talk about Outside of the Box Church. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 10 says, "And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Thank you. "And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued in the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jew and Greek." Again, we're going to speak tonight on Outside of the Box Church. For years, I've heard churches asking, how do we get our church outside of these four walls? If there ever was a generation that needed reached, it is this generation. Can you say amen? If there ever was a generation that was harder to reach with traditional means, it is this generation. But how do we get outside of the box? First, folks, let's answer the questions. What is the box? If we're saying we want to get outside of the box, can you help me here tonight? Say, what is the box? Anybody? Yes. Tradition. Traditional mindsets. Anybody else? That's the top of the list, Nate. Pardon me? Traditional methods. How about comfort zone? Don't we like our comfort zones? Huh? Our church history. Well, this is the way it's always been done, so let's continue to do it this way. Anybody else? Generational boundaries. Our personal history and our experiences. And it's never been done that way before. That's a mentality that people have. Well, it's never been done that way. Well, why can't it be? Right? Folks, understand this. This is not a traditional church. Come on. I doubt that we will ever conform to anyone's ideal or ideas of traditional church. We did not start out from traditional means, and we will not end up with traditional means if we're careful. Right? You see, tradition has a way of holding you to your past, which some people, they love that. But that's not what God's all about. But it is also, it also has a way of limiting your future. When you hold on to that traditional past, it limits your future. So sticking with the norm is often a safer bet. But folks, when you do that, it seldom allows you the opportunity to experience the miraculous in your life or in your ministry. And we understand that to be effective is in this community and in all communities that we all come from, we are going to have to be a church that is outside of the box, normal church conformism. We have to be different. Excuse me. Conformity cannot be the starting place for God's church. Okay? As a matter of fact, it was never the starting place of any move of God or effective ministry mentioned in the Bible. Amen? So when you look at the life and you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, you see very quickly that his ministry was definitely an outside-the-box ministry. He was his very birth was completely unconventional. It was a virgin birth. All right, never been done, never since. Childhood was unusual. At 12 years old, he was teaching in the synagogues. Unusual. His first known miracle was controversial even to this day. He turned water into wine. The choosing of his disciples was completely unorthodox. He chose ignorant fishermen. He chose tax collectors. He chose publicans. Out of the box. Many other miracles. So strange. Many never believed that. Believed they happened. So he purposely waited for Lazarus to die before he helped him. The religious people of his day thought him so unorthodox and so eccentric in his ministry that they hated him. So much so that they wanted to kill him. Now think about it, folks. How different would this church have to be than the rest of religious world would want to destroy us because we are so different than the norm? This is how it was for Jesus. His ministry was so different from what other people thought it should be that they failed to recognize who he really was. They missed his appearing because they were stuck in a box, so to speak, in their understanding, in their contemplation of who Jesus really was supposed to be. And Jesus' ministry was and is the expression of out-of-the-box church thinking. So over and over again, he expressed to the teachers and the religious people that they would, he expressed to the teachers and the religious people that what they thought was right religiously was exactly wrong. And what they thought was wrong was actually right. You see, they thought that they had God all figured out. We get that way sometimes, don't we? Yeah, I know what God's going to do in this situation. And I love it when God just blows our minds. He's good about that, isn't he? So they thought they had God all figured out, and they had probed and they had dissected and they had analyzed God until they had him all wrapped up in some neat and tidy little package called Judaism. And they had teachers who would toe the line, so to speak, and cause the people to believe what their little box of religion believed. But to the point that if anyone ever stepped outside of the lines of conformity, that they were shunned, they were disinherited, and sometimes even persecuted. To leave the box meant heresy. To leave the box meant sacrilegion. To leave the box was to leave the way it had always been done. To leave the box was to bring upon you the judgment and persecution of the religious order of the day. So in Jesus' case, to leave the box was to put your life in jeopardy, even to the point of the cross. But guess what, folks? In spite of the threats of the cross, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus didn't even flinch, folks. Didn't even flinch. His ministry was too immense for a box. His anointing was too great for a box. His zeal was too huge for a box. His passion was too vast for a box. Jesus' ministry did not fit the protocol. It did not fit standard procedure. And so the only way that they could stop it was to kill him. But their killing him did not stop him. I thank God, folks, Jesus did not conform. Amen? Amen. I thank God. Hallelujah. I thank God Jesus did not imitate what some other preachers down the road was doing. Amen. I'm thankful that Jesus was not a clone of some guy on television or some big name evangelist somewhere. He was who he was. And if you didn't like who he was, that was just too bad. And it probably meant that you would miss out on the miraculous in your life. See, there was nothing common. There was nothing usual. There was nothing traditional about Jesus Christ. And there was nothing common, usual, or tradition about the church ministry produced. The same people who sought to kill Jesus was the same people who tried to destroy the church. The one scripture tells us the gates of hell would not prevail against the church of the living God. Amen? And that is why his church grew to over 3,000 the very first day it was started. Amen? That is why it grew by thousands daily after that and actually reached all of Asia Minor in the space of just 2 years. Because Jesus was out of the box. His church was out of the box. Amen? That is why Rome eventually adopted it as the national religion. Because as much as the Rome persecuted it, it just kept growing. So no matter how many Christians they threw into the lions and gladiator pits in the Colosseum of Rome, Christianity continued to flourish and multiply in Rome. Jesus' church was outside of the box. The church in the book of Acts did things that no other religion would do. It reached out and healed people. Amen. It fed the hungry. It clothed the naked. It delivered the oppressed. It embraced baptism and a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How many know that we are outside of the box, church? Amen. Hallelujah. We're not condemned about what is popular, or we're not concerned, I'm sorry, about what is popular. We want to know what is biblical. That's what it's all about. If it ain't in the Word of God, I don't want it. Praise the Lord. We're not concerned what this group or that group is saying or doing or concerned what does the book say, the Bible say? What does it say? That's what we want. It's not what anybody else wants. It's not what anybody else is saying. What does the Word of God say? And what is the Spirit saying to the church today? An outside-of-the-box church can reach its generation. An outside-of-the-box church can go places other churches only dream of going. An outside-of-the-box church can minister to and win people that other churches would judge and avoid. So to be outside of the box means that you're going to take some heat from inside of the box thinkers. Amen? But to be outside of the box means you're not all that concerned about what they are saying anyways. We're not trying to be disrespectful. We're not trying to be condescending. We're just trying to listen to God. Amen? We're trying to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church in the community that we are living in. Here's what I'm saying, folks. The box is designed to contain something. The box is intended to enclose something. The box is built to keep certain things in, but the result is it also keeps things out. Jesus said, "Go ye into all of the world." Amen? Amen. Now, the sad thing about a box church is that the thing that it keeps out is most often the very thing that God intended to get in the first place. And that is a lost and dying world. If there is one thing that I have noticed about this church, it is that it has no problem getting guests and visitors to come to it. But most often, I hear from the people who visit here say how much they love it. They love the music. They love the people. They love the preaching. They love the spirit that they feel. They love this church. And you ask, why? Because this church is out of the box. Amen? It has no problem reaching non-church people. And the reason why is because it loves and it embraces non-church people regardless of where they are in their life. Now, I believe the reason is because we love like Jesus loves. How does Jesus love? Unconditionally. Amen. Unconditionally. We don't look at what people look like. We don't look at where they are or where they have been. We genuinely love people without any form of judgment. And as a matter of fact, if there is anything that needs to be put into a box and locked away in some place, it's judgment. Amen? Put it in a box and hide it in the attic or something. Bury it somewhere. One of the most repeated sermons that Jesus preached was, "Judge not." Amen? If you ever wanted to hear a preacher preach the same sermon over and over again, it would have been Jesus, and the topic would have been judging other people. So guess what? We don't judge. Amen? We just love people. Amen? Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious. Amen? And that goes for every skin color. We even love church people. Amen? Do you love church people? But I don't want to say that if you come here from some other church, you might need to lay down a few box church ideas. I've had people tell me, well, in the church I came from, they preach such and such. Well, isn't that why you left? Amen? That's why you left. This is not that church, and that this church is out of the box. Amen? We are not interested in the things that keep other churches all bound up and unable to grow. We're not interested in that. We want to be out of the box. And Jesus' church is a church, folks, that is a growing church. Amen? If we are not growing, then something is wrong with us. If we are not producing new babies in the church, then we do not love people the way that Jesus said to love them. You see, an outside-of-the-box church is a church that is willing to do whatever it needs to do to reach its community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that methods may change, right? But the message stays the same. An outside-of-the-box church is not looked into traditional mindsets or not locked into traditional mindsets. This is why, folks, the Book of Acts church that Jesus started was so effective in reaching its world. They're not locked into things that say, well, we're going to stay this way. This is the way tradition is, and this is what we've always done. We're not locked into those things. If God wants to go this direction, that's where we're going. If he says, turn around and go back the other way, that's where we're going. And it's why the Book of Acts church that Jesus started was so effective in reaching its world. It reached across boundaries that no one wanted to cross over for generations. An outside-of-the-box church will attract people. If we're doing it right, it will draw people. It will appeal to people. And the reason that it does is because its arms are genuinely open to everybody. There are no big I's in little U's in the church. Right? We truly care about people. We love people. And we want to help people. And we want to minister to people. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm not interested in preaching week after week to a bunch of trained, yes, men and women. I want to preach to people who sincerely want to be changed by the power of the gospel and who want to reach their world with the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when you look in our text today, we hear about a church that turned its world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 years' time, folks, the message they proclaimed literally shut down the worship of the goddess Diana. Their silversmiths who made the silver images that the people worship actually got together and they tried to abolish the ministry that the early church was doing. And they said to them in Acts 19, 25 to 27, it says, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger and to be set at naught, but also that the temple of that great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. The early church was shutting down the worship of the goddess Diana. They were putting out of business those goldsmiths that were making the images and selling them to people. Folks, that's busy. Amen. That's doing a job. And the early church was an outside of the box church, and it reached its generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it not only reached its community, but it also went out and reached the communities around it. It was an on-fire church. It was a worshiping church. It was a giving church. It was a loving church. It was a forgiving church. It was an enabling church. It was a growing church. It had no boundaries. It had no limits. It had no walls. And it had no boxes. Amen? Amen. And that's what we, folks, intend to be. And we want to be able to help and to bless, amen, people in our lives and in our community all around us. We want to be that blessing. Amen. And we want people to want to be interested in what is happening in Church of Pentecost. Amen? And if we want to see the presence of God move, God moves when there's people that are empty and desiring to be filled. Amen. And if we fill this place with folks that are empty and need Jesus, folks, we will have the presence of God here in a great and in a mighty way. Praise the Lord. Let's stand here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here tonight. We appreciate all of you that are here. And we want God to bless you and to help you. And if there's anything we can do, and just let us know. Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. God, we thank you for your blessings. I ask you to bless each one here tonight. Let your will be done, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another. Greet our guests.